Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online. We would love to hear from you. The phone lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As we talk about foundations, and that's what we've been talking about all month, and it's so important. You look at any construction site, and you know, you see that they start building, but you don't see anything for a long, long time. Uh-huh. Why? Because they're making sure the foundation is good and solid, and that the building is going to stand firmly on something that is unshakable, unmovable. So the foundation is the most important piece of any building that you see. And the same is true as far as our lives are concerned. We have to have a proper foundation. Otherwise, we're just going to be on shifting sands. And any way the wind blows, it's going to move us in that direction. We won't be able to really stand solid and firm and true to who we are apart from the foundation that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, to really, I think, in the month, as we talk about foundations, we really have to get back to the grace of God. Because if it weren't for the grace of God, there would be no foundation for us to stand upon. That really is the foundation for everything, the foundation for God's relationship with us. It's the foundation for our relationship with Him. And it's interesting when you read the Word of God, you start in Genesis 1:1, and you see in the beginning God. Mm-hmm. So He's the main character. He's who we're trying to know and to seek and to find. And the last verse of the Bible, Revelation 22:21, says this: the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. So if there's going to be a connection between God and man, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
That is the foundation. And once that's in place, then everything can flow from there. And so today I thought we would take just a few minutes and talk about some of the things that the grace of God has brought to each of our lives. In Ephesians 1:7-8, it says this: in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. So what do we have in Christ? We have the redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. How did we get that? You know, and there's many people that will say, well, I begged, I pleaded, you know, I asked, I just prayed, I did all of these things, made promises, I said these prayers or those prayers, and, you know, I did my penance. And here, none of that is mentioned in this verse. Not one single thing that I just listed off.
Right.
It's in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us.
I love that word lavish, because that's exactly what He did.
Yeah, he just didn't give us a little dab. He lavished it upon us. And as a result, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So if you're a believer today, you are a forgiven person. And the reason you're forgiven is because of the grace of God. Yeah. No other reason. Get that foundation right. Get that basic truth right. And everything will flow from there because of His great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. What did the grace of God do for us according to that passage?
Saved us.
Saved us by making us alive together with Christ. We who were dead in transgressions and sins, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace that we have been saved. So grace forgives us, redeems us. Grace makes us alive. The grace of God is a peer that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. So what does the grace of God do in this passage? it teaches us to say no to sin. It forgives, it redeems, it makes us alive. It teaches us how to live as believers. And part of that is learning to say no to sin. What are some of the critics? What do they say about the grace of God?
Oh, you're just giving people a license to sin. That's all you're doing. You're going to tell them that sin doesn't matter. Go do anything you want. It's just not the case. It's clearly not the case.
Absolutely. So anyone who is thinking that the grace of God is going to lead to a license to sin has not yet discovered what the grace of God is.
Correct.
But the teaching of the grace of God, when you do it correctly, when you do it according to what the Word of God has to say, it's going to lead some to that conclusion that you're just saying we can go out and do anything we want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not hearing the correct teaching about the grace of God, because the grace of God will teach us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. And as Paul writes here in Titus 2:14, it will purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's the power of the grace of God in us. So if we want to see any real growth, any significant growth in our lives as believers, we need to find out about this grace of God, because it is everything. The Christian life is grace from start to finish. Nothing more, nothing less. Discover the grace of God, and you will discover the right path forward.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. And speaking of God's grace, only today and tomorrow remain to claim your copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's our special offer this month to everyone who steps up to help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming. And it's yours with your gift to Basic Gospel before midnight tomorrow. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It will show you the way to enter into God's grace in a deeper way than ever before. Request your copy when you make your gift. Click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Sacramento, California, and talk with Vernon, listening to us on KFIA. Hi, Vernon.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you, my friend. What's on your mind today?
I want to ask, have to pardon me, I have laryngitis I'm trying to get over. My daughter is getting ready to turn 32, and I'm almost 66, and I couldn't answer a question that I've been wondering myself for the longest time, which is, in the Bible, why are there some scriptures referring in context, referring to Jesus Christ, where he is referred to as he or him, and the H that his name is not capitalized all the time? Why is it not capitalized all the time?
That's just a choice that was made by the translating committee for that particular translation. So it has nothing to do with anything more than that was their choice to do it as a lower case H instead of a capital H.
Okay.
Yeah. So it doesn't detract from who he is, the fact that he is God, that he was God in flesh, that he's God. It doesn't detract from his deity. It's just a translator's preference. That's all it is. It's as simple as that.
Could I ask one more significant question?
You certainly may, Vernon, and we would love to hear it.
Okay. In Scripture, I believe there was at least three occasions when Paul approached God in prayer and asked him to remove his infirmity of the flesh. Some people, I've heard the most common idea was it had something to do with his eyesight, but I don't know. It's actually irrelevant. But I myself have been praying all my life since age 7, and I didn't know till I was 40 what was wrong with me all my life. It is still, quote-unquote, wrong with me. And since then, I've seen numerous psychologists and psychiatrists. And in 1998, I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, and attention deficit hyperactive disorder, not ADD, but ADHD. And last but not least, bipolar disorder and depression. And all four of them, my life, I think in terms, I love Jesus' parables. And the idea that comes to mind, the picture that came to mind, what it's like to walk my walk, walk in my shoes, and live my life experientially. It's like being on a merry-go-round mounted to a roller coaster. And that's the way it feels, up and down, around and around, and you're going through all these changes. And it's like a woman, the closest I can get to relate to what it's like with Tourette syndrome in particular, is that it's like a woman who has to experience premenstrual, PMS. And PMS is a very real disease or whatever you call it, disorder. And I know that history is littered with women who have done things like killing their own children during those 3 days of the month. But with me, it's not just 3 days of a month periodically on and off, most of the time off, but rather it's 24/7. And the only time I'm really content and relaxed is when I'm sleeping. And that's my
question. Vernon, that's
that's
a good description of what you're experiencing, you know, emotionally and mentally. I think you really hit that as far as the roller coaster and the turning around and up and down and all of that sort of thing. And it's ever changing. You know, your moods are ever changing. Right. They're up, they're down, they're everywhere in between. So you don't feel like there's a lot of stability in your life. You don't feel like there's a lot of certainty there. And as a believer in Christ, and you are a believer, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I have been since age 7.
Okay. So as a believer, you do have something stable in your life. His name is Jesus, and his opinion of you never changes. So it's one of those things where in the topsy-turviness of your day-to-day experience, the going around, the up and down, to try to find that stake, that center point, that point of stability, keeping your eyes on Jesus. His love never changes for you. The forgiveness that you have in Christ never changes. The fact that you're alive in Christ never changes. Those things are the very things that can anchor you in the midst of your storm. And that's what you need, isn't it? An anchor that you can cling to, that can keep you where you need to be.
He is my stability.
Absolutely.
He's kept me from taking myself out of this world. I just get to a point where I don't want to play anymore. All these kids I grew up with since kindergarten, which is true. I'm still in Sacramento since I was a two. Anyway, now they have rings in their ears and tattoos all over, and they have spikes in their flesh and such and so on, just tattoos head to tail. And they've got attitudes, and everybody's changed. The whole world's changed. And it's...
Well, change is kind of the thing that we see out there in the world, except, you know, some things never change. We have a sin problem. We have a world system problem that is anti-God, anti-Christ. It's built upon pride and things and all of that. That's the way of the world. But you've been rescued out of that, Vernon, and you have some stability in Christ. He's your anchor. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation you stand on. Take your stand there, and in the up and down, all around, you know, emotional thing that you're on, you'll find your center in Christ. Let me do this for you, Vernon. We have a wonderful CD series called The Breakout. I would love to send that to you just as our gift to you. And I think you will be encouraged by the words on that, okay?
Yes. I wanted to say that suicide, to me, has been something that I have fought every day of my life, throughout my life. But it is not an option. God has put a block in my heart, the seat of motivation, my heart.
Well, that is,
and that governs my mind.
Well, that is great to hear, Vernon.
That is not an option. Yeah. That's not an option. It's not that I will not because I cannot, because I could. I put all my meds in a blender with a milk, drink it, and I never wake up. But it's rather that I cannot because I will not. And it's a matter of my will.
Well, it sounds like, Vernon, the Lord Jesus has done something inside of you.
Oh, yeah.
And you have life. And that's like I said, that's your anchor. And you keep thanking the Lord for that. Keep thanking the Lord that He is in your life and that He loves you and that He has lavished upon you His grace and mercy. You hang on, Vernon. Let me send you this series called The Breakout, okay?
I appreciate it. God bless everyone in your studio.
Thank you, Vernon.
We sure appreciate it.
Glad you called. Well, The Breakout, of course, is available in our online store. You'll find it at store.basicgospel.net. Also, I want to remind you, friends, that we have open lines, and we'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. There's time on the clock, and still, as I said, still open lines, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Hi, y'all. Thanks for taking my call. I wasn't going to call in, but I decided to after hearing your introduction, Bob. Two things. One thing is about the word lavish, and I appreciate that. I was agreeing with Bob also, but I don't know if everybody can get their head wrapped around this. But when God gives us His grace or His mercy or anything, it's 100% to every one of us. He doesn't proportion it out. I get all of God's love. You guys get all of God's love. And that's pretty much the way I see lavish. And the other thing is, when you were talking about, I'm not exactly sure what the context was, about the license to sin. I've heard that from so many people, but the people that I hear this from the most are the very same people that I hear, well, God's righteousness and His sanctification and His justification is positional, because they can't figure it out logically, so they just say it's positional, it's really not all for now. So anyway, thank you for your ministry, and I'll let you all talk. Well, bye-bye.
Well, thanks, Brad. You know, one of the questions about Christianity, about any philosophy and that sort of thing is trying to produce the right behavior.
Yes.
You know, we have a picture of what Christians should look like, you know, how they should act, how they should respond, how they should feel, all of those sort of things. And so we're over here at point A, and we want to get to point B. We want to get to that destination. The question is, how do we do that? And where I think the church has fallen short is we've put the grace of God kind of on the back burner and said, we've got to find another way because we're not sure, we're not certain. We don't have the confidence that the grace of God can move us down the right path. We think that sin can have an opportunity to creep in there and move us in a different direction. If you just tell everybody that they're saved forever, that they're forgiven forever, that they're righteous in God's sight, then you've just given them, you know, an open door to sin, or you've just given sin an open door into their lives. So we've discarded grace. We've said, I'm not sure that that can do it. So let's come up with another way. Let's come up with another system to get us to where behavior looks like what real Christian behavior is supposed to look like. Well, we've missed the boat there, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. This didn't change for me until I stopped thinking of grace as a thing. As long as grace is just a concept or something you describe on a piece of paper, it has no power. But that's not the way the Bible describes it. Grace is a person.
Right.
Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's grace. Talk about lavished. I mean, you can't do any. It's like you've fallen in a vat of chocolate. What a wonderful thing. and even after you get out of the chocolate, it's inside of you. It's over the top of you. Everything you do is infused by that chocolate. Everything we do in a real life situation is infused because we're in the air. We breathe the air. It's all around us. Think of the Holy Spirit that way. Think of grace that way. There's more grace, more Holy Spirit than you could possibly imagine, and that power is yours and will keep you from doing the things you don't want to do, if you will let him.
Absolutely, because it works on the inside. It changes us from the inside out, and that's a phrase that we've used, and we've heard others use it as well. Christianity is an inside-out reality.
Yes.
So Christ starts on the inside. We're saved first and foremost spiritually. These spirits of ours are made alive. Then they're connected with Christ. There's a union that forms.
Yes.
And then that starts to inform every other aspect of who we are. It starts to inform our mind and to renew the way that we think and see and perceive life out there. A lot of people call that a Christian worldview. You know, we had a very worldly worldview, a secular worldview, a sin-driven worldview before we came to know Christ.
Yes.
And when Christ comes to live inside of us, our perspective, our worldview changes. How? Well, is it because we've read books, because we've gone to classes? No, it's because the Spirit of God, in conjunction with our human spirit, that union starts to bring truth to these minds of ours, and our minds start to change.
Yeah.
So where we see the first bit of transformation is with our thinking, and then our attitudes follow suit. And then as our attitudes follow suit, our behaviors, the things that we choose, follow suit, and our behaviors are kind of the caboose at the end.
Yes.
But it's an inside-out reality. Well, that's grace changed us on the inside to begin with. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Well, that gift keeps on giving,
yes,
so to speak. The grace of God continues to work in us. It's the grace of God from start to finish. And once the grace of God begins in a person's life, it never ends. There will never be a time where we are outside of the grace of God, or that the power of God's grace has diminished. That power keeps moving us forward, and we have to rest in that. We have to understand that. Once we get that as our foundation, the Christian life starts to take on a whole new meaning.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Bob. Thank you for that. And folks, what you do through Basic Gospel is what keeps the message going forward, reaching out to people across North America and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. You are very much appreciated. And through midnight tomorrow, a complimentary copy of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, will still be available to all of you who help keep the message going with a donation to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your donation and receive your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Just make sure you click the request button so we'll get one on the way to you. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.